Welcome to the Beginning Meditation Podcast Series. For further information, please visit ihvh.co.uk. That's ihvh.co.uk.
You're listening to part 12 of Beginning Meditation. This episode features the second part of my two-part interview with Ron Clark as we conclude our discussion on the topic of mindfulness and meditation and how they relate to creativity and artistic expression. To find out more information about Ron, visit his website www.abaddoncompanion.com. And here's the rest of the interview. Yeah, and I'm really interested in, it's just occurred to me, the difference then between the process that you've just described, in which almost the complete idea filters down to the mundane level, like you said, in which you can actually work with it on a physical level, and that compared to what we might call the normal artistic process, where maybe, you know, an artist is sitting there and it might have to involve what appears to be more strain and active thinking, and shall I do it this way or that way, and is there a contrast there?
Yeah, in what I'm describing, there isn't. There will be sometimes that, should I do it this way or that way, but it really comes down to technical choices. Not about the greater vision at all. It's just, is this going to be sturdier than this? Or is this going to,
So we've kind of already answered this question, but in case we haven't fully, I'll ask it anyway. have you noticed then a difference between your personal creativity when in what we could call a mindful state and when you're not? And I know you've already gone into the subjective and the objective, so is there anything to add to that, or would you say we've kind of...
When I'm not in a mindful state, I produce crap. You know? It just looks like crap if I'm not paying attention to, you know, myself and the medium and what I'm doing. And, you know, I've made things for sale, specifically because I knew they would sell. And to my aesthetic eye, they looked like crap, you know. But they I knew that was what would sell. And so I wasn't particularly mindful while I was making them. I was just executing this task in order to make some money.
Yeah, that actually reminds me of a conversation I had with my dad a little while ago, because he's an artist as well, not professionally, but he likes to paint, and he sells some of his art in small quantities in a few galleries and stuff, and he's mentioned a few times the just the difference in the feel of feeling obliged to paint something because you know it will appeal to a certain section of the art buying population, and then the difference between that and just sitting down and not having a time limit and just see how you're inspired and which direction you want to go in for no particular reason.
That's much more liberating for me to just do things because I want to do them, and that's where I'm at now, essentially. I'm not really selling anything anymore. I'm not even really trying to sell anything anymore. And so I'm just making things, and most of them end up as gifts to people. that I enjoy. You know, I really enjoy that. It's very fulfilling.
I can understand that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned Keats just before, and I love Keats. When I've always liked kind of writing poetry, bad poetry, since I was really young, but I've never, up until a certain age, really enjoyed reading what may be termed like the kind of classic poets or whatever. I didn't really get it until I did a course at college, and we had this great teacher, and just her enthusiasm kind of was infectious, really, and I realised that it wasn't actually the fact that I didn't understand what I was reading, it was that emotional connection and kind of, you know, looking at the symbolism and everything. And but even so, still for me, Keats is kind of, it's interesting how different poets or different artists or kind of appeal to different types of people, and you get that instant connection and you can relate to it. But Keats kind of wrote about what, and you mentioned it again, this kind of, he described it as a negative capability or a sort of oneness, and when he was connecting with the things that he wanted to write about. And I was just wondering how you thought that linked in with in most traditional meditation practices, no matter which culture they kind of spring from, there's this idea of emptying the mind. And do you think that artists or writers sometimes go into that state unintentionally just in order to create what they want to create?
Yes, I think that's actually fairly common, you know, outside of commercial art. Because I know a lot of fiction writers, they really become their characters. You know, a lot of them talk about how their characters are very alive for them, and that's really the same process of identifying with the object that you're trying to express. I think outside of the really commercial art context, it's a very common thing. You know, whether the artist really realizes it or not, or is aware of it, I think it happens to some degree. Otherwise, there is no, really universal expression.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. It just made me think of actors as well when they talk about inhabiting a character.
Uh-huh.
It's the same kind of process, I suppose. You're really emptying yourself to a certain degree and then taking on this other essence or entity or character.
Yeah, I think a lot of artists will dream about the whatever they're working on, and it'll always be in their mind.
Very much,
you know, an aspect of that process of really becoming at one with the thing. But I think what Keats was really talking about was more along the lines of what I was talking about with the objective creativity. Of really becoming so unified with the thing that you wish to express, and then opening up and just letting it use you as an avenue of expression.
Yeah.
You know, the result is still colored by it's colored by your abilities, your technical abilities. But it's very different still than just how do I feel about X or Y.
Yes. Yeah. You mentioned dreams as well, and that's an interesting angle, because one of the things that occurred to me when I was thinking about this whole topic and this interview was the line, if there is one, and between creative acts or artistic acts and other what we might call disciplines. So for example, I thought of inventors, which maybe certain inventions would be classed as more scientific, but a lot of people, great scientists and people who've created inventions that have changed people's lives have talked about this, finding the answers to things in their dreams and waking up with the answer the next morning.
And well, the dream state is just an internal processing of one's awake experience. Mm-hmm. And in that context, the emotions are much more immediate, and ideas flow much more freely, really, mm-hmm. in the dream state versus a waking state. And I think that's very, very common for, not just for creating, for all of our experiences in waking, we continue processing them while we're sleeping. Mm-hmm. And it's not surprising at all that certain realizations occur, just as you're waking up. You suddenly have this new bit of information in your awareness.
Yeah. So you kind of freed up, really.
Yeah, you sort of step out of your way, in a sense. It's fewer distractions, and you're in the environment of emotions pretty much strictly.
Uh-huh. Well, another question was concerning the Kabbalistic Tree of Life, and I don't know how many people who are going to listen to this interview will be aware of it in any detail, but basically it's a structure, if we're looking at it as a glyph, that contains 10 spheres, and each represents a different emanation and a different kind of energy, and that could be related to the universe or creation as a whole, or an individual person. You're probably the better person to be doing this part than I am, but the reason that I wanted to talk about it a little bit was because the central sphere, if you like, Tiferet, is linked with the idea of beauty, and I was just wondering what your thoughts were with that, and creativity and artistic expression.
The spheres on the Tree of Life, it's really easy to think of them as things or places. Because we treat it as a glyph, an image, but it's not. This is a symbol, and these are really states of awareness, levels of awareness, different types of awareness that permeate the universe, and of course, as a consequence, also permeate human awareness. Tiferet, the idea of beauty in Tiferet has nothing to do with aesthetic. It has to do with the wonder, the wondrous rightness of all things. You see this much more in nature, where everything is just absolutely perfect. Even if an insect is eating through it, it's still just absolutely perfect. The insect, everything is just... That's the type of beauty that is referred to in Tiferet. And associated with Tiferet is what I call the individual self, the mental body, the awareness, the essential self, the self-awareness that precedes emotions, that is separate from emotions, really, and from physical existence, even though it's the part of us that incarnates, it's that aspect of awareness that is me, but deeper me than just my emotional reactions to things or my physical appearance. That level of awareness definitely relates to creativity, or at least it can, especially the objective creativity, because it's really from that level of awareness, that it's that level of awareness that we open to the experience of other without the layer of personal interpretation. It's that really, that deeper level of self that we are expressing when we create something, even if we're doing expressing it through our emotional interpretation, our emotional experience. It's still this deeper self, this essential self that is completely unique to each person that we are expressing. Tiferet, I think, relates more to the objective creativity. And I think Netzach, Venus, and Yesod, the moon, these relate more to a subjective, aesthetic creativity, where we're very much rooted in either our own personal emotions or, you know, emotional archetypes that we are expressing. And then there's also the Hod type of expression, which is Mercury. It's very precise and scientific and infinitely complex. I'm sure you've seen works like M.C. Escher is a great exemplar of a Hodian type of creativity.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Where it's really opens your mind, to the other sort of perspective. Tiferet does relate, but not, I don't think, in the sense that you were thinking of as beauty being, an aesthetic quality. That would be more the realm of Venus.
Right, because, like you say, there's the human interpretation, and then obviously there's also
right.
personal interpretation. Now, I'm interested in, when you talked about Tiferet as being the interpretation of our true self, if you like, but it's still individual to us. Is there then a higher level in which there are, I mean, you spoke also about the emotional archetypes, are there higher universal archetypes
creative definitely.
Expression?
Yes, and those are really accessed through Tiferet. Tiferet opening to those. That they then, can be brought into a mundane expression.
Mm-hmm. Right. And would you say that those higher archetypes then are universal in the truest sense? I mean, do they cross cultures and beyond the human race, if you
yes,
like?
Exactly.
As well.
That's the definition of archetypal. Human. And that's what the Tree of Life itself, as a symbol, is seeking to express. Most of us consider it as talking about human awareness, but it's not. Mm-hmm. Human awareness is just a microscopic, insignificant bit of the universe. And the Tree of Life is seeking to express in a very human way the whole, as opposed to just part of the part.
Well, I've really, really enjoyed this conversation, and you've made me think of the topic from so many different angles that I hadn't considered before. It's been really useful, and
okay.
It's provided me personally with lots of things to go away and contemplate and meditate upon and go into a bit more detail with. Was there anything else that you wanted to add, or do you think that we've covered everything that you wanted to mention on the topic?
I don't have anything. Nothing has come up for me, Dad. No.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. And
thank you, Martin.
I hope to maybe interview you again sometime in the future.
Okay.
Thank you for listening to the Beginning Meditation. Any suggestions or questions are welcomed. Go to ihvh.co.uk for more details. That's ihvh.co.uk.